Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Today's exhortation is called All Things New. Part of it is addressed to you, Cody, as you're making this decision, but there are others here as well who are thinking about making this decision for Christ. So let us go to the Word of God, and before we do that, let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we've just witnessed the power of your Holy Spirit to change a man's life to desire you. We ask, Father, as we spend a few moments here in the Word of God, that you will speak to our souls and that we would desire you too. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 14. And we're going to verse 17. It says in there, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh," meaning by the flesh, the things of the world. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things, what, my friends, have become new." Over the course of the last couple days, the world has been gripped by a submarine. This submarine, in order to enter this submarine and to have a ticket to be able to go into this submarine, for many of us, we would have to mortgage our house. A ticket was about $250,000 for this journey. The journey was to go under the waters and to look at the Titanic, observe it, see things and see what happened and all of those wonderful things that surround the wreckage of the Titanic. The captain of the submarine had been warned, however, that his company and the way how he built this submarine was not sound. However, being stubborn, he said he did not care. He knew what he was doing, he felt like, and that he could take all these people with him and take them underneath the water. And those of you who have experience with water, water is no joke. I remember over the course of my time, one of my great hobbies was to scuba dive. And even under a little bit of water pressure, I would scuba dive in Florida with the manatees, which was awesome. But even in that little pressure, you could see how dangerous the operation was if you did not monitor your tanks with oxygen. Because the deeper you go in water, the more oxygen, what happens to oxygen? It compresses. But now they were going to go very deep under the water. In this submarine, there was a billionaire. There were other people that wanted to explore. As they went underneath the waters, guess what happened? Things were looking great, but all of a sudden they realized they were not coming back. They started looking for them and searching for them, and for several days they were searching for them and there was no sign. They started to hear noises because, you know, you're trained if a submarine goes down. If you want to be found, guess what do you have to do? Anybody here done some submarine training? You have to start knocking so that sonar will be able to pick up some vibration and see that where you are. So for a while, they thought they were hearing sounds, knocking. They realized that these people were in despair and they were starting to look for them. And soon they realized that they only had about 24 hours of oxygen in the submarine. People were searching for them and searching for them. And after time ran out, it was not anymore 24 hours, 32 hours, and so forth. They decided that indeed these people had perished. They found some wreckage about 600 feet from the Titanic. And they realized that all of them were gone. The question I want to ask you and I today is that who is the captain of your life? These people invested massive amounts to fulfill a dream that they had to see the Titanic. But in the process of following the wrong captain, they lost their life, and for that billionaire, it's done. Who is the captain of your life? Who is the one who decides or guides you in the way going forward? For many of us today, if we're honest with ourselves, we will say, I am the captain of my life. I decide where I want to go, what I want to do, how I want to live my life. But you know what, my friends? Many of us have maybe not lived for a long time, but we've realized that when we have done things our way, things usually don't turn out too well. This captain thought that he could control maybe his submarine. He thought that things did not apply to him, and he took the risk, but in the process of taking a risk, he lost his life. Today, Scripture has a better option, a better captain. His name is Jesus Christ. Let's go again to the Word of God, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to focus especially on verse 17. The Bible says it this way. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what again, my friends? Became new. Let's analyze this text very closely. The first thing that Paul tells us here, the author of this book here of 2 Corinthians, he says that in order for us to experience all things new, there's something that must happen first. And Cody, as you're engaging in this new journey with Jesus Christ, this is the key to victory. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in who, my friends? In Christ. In Christ. In other words, if the captain of your ship is Christ, good things are coming your way. But what does it really mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to live your life every day in Christ? What does being in Christ really mean? In order to understand what it means to be in Christ, we must go to the book of John. Go with me to the book of John. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go a little bit faster, but I hope you can hang on. I hope I won't be like that captain of that submarine, so just hang on. As long as we're in the Word, we're okay. Go with me to the book of John, John chapter 6 and verse 63. What does it mean to be in Christ? John chapter 6 and verse 63, if you're there, if you could say a good amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible records it this way, John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are what, my friends? They are life." At first, you might say, well, what does this have to do in Christ? But in this text, God gives the equation to being in Christ. Let's read it again. We're going to see what this equation is. Verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives you life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." There's a formula to having life in Christ. There's a formula to being in Christ. One of the first things that we notice as Jesus is speaking, he says that if you have my words, you have what? Life. Anybody that says, "I love Jesus Christ, I am in Jesus Christ," but does not follow the word of God is not in Christ. We can fool ourselves and say, "I'm religious, I love Jesus." But if Jesus' words are not in our life, we're like dead men walking. Spiritual life begins in the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, there's no life in us. There are many people today that says, "We love God, we love God, we want to be loving." But what God says in His Word, we don't need to follow that. Jesus is saying today that if you don't have His words, you have no life in you. There is this big tsunami in the world today that says, one of the objections I hear a lot about when they talk about the Adventist church, they say, "Why do you guys always have to remind us of our sins?" But you know, I want to ask the question, really what the question is how deep is your love? If you don't love somebody deeply, let's say like a child when they're throwing a tantrum and you don't want to deal with it, you might say, "Well, why don't you go watch this show?" So that you don't have to deal with it immediately. If you have a long view, however, of your love, when they're throwing that tantrum, what will you do? Would you try to find the easy fix? Or the fix that will help them along the way? Which one would you do? Now, parents, I'm guilty of this. At times, my children will throw a tantrum or something, and I'll be like, "Well, why don't you just do this?" But I've realized over the course that if I want this child to be able to survive down the road, I need to take the time. It is the same. When you come to God's church, if we just say, "Well, we don't want you to throw a tantrum, so we won't bother you about your sin," is that truly loving? But if we say, "We love you enough to tell you exactly what the Bible says, because we want you to be in the kingdom of God." You see, we cannot divorce Christ's teaching from Christ. We cannot just speak about love and not talk about His law. Because the whole package of Jesus Christ is love. Amen? So when we come to Christ, when we see the words of Christ, and Christ is pointing to our sin, He's not doing this so that He'll give you a hard time. He's doing it because he wants to save you. And Jesus says, my words are what, my friends? Are life. The other part of the equation, we have here the words of God, but what is the other part of the equation? What else gives life? It says it is the Spirit who does what? Oh, have I lost you, my friends? I hope not. It says, what else gives life? The Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, plus the words of God equals spiritual life. There are many people, for example, who know the words of God. One of them, Benjamin Franklin, memorized all of Scripture. Yet, at the end of his days, he was still a deist. So many people, the devil, does the devil know the Scriptures? Oh, yes, he does. Is he a devil still? Yes, he is. You can know the Scriptures, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't have true spiritual life. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in us that teaches us truly the words of life. The reason why the devil is a devil still, because he does not want the Holy Spirit in his heart. He knows the words of God. He studied the words of God. There's no better theologian in the world than the devil. But the Spirit does not abide in his heart. There are many people that can quote Scripture, but the real question is Scripture part of your life? The Holy Spirit is what we need. We not only need the words of God, but we also need the Spirit of God. More and more, I'm convinced that our greatest need today as Bible-believing people is to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. He does three major things in our lives. I'm going to go in rapid succession. Please mark down. I'll give you as well the Bible text so that you can search it for yourself. There are seven major things that the Spirit of God does in our lives. Number one, He leads you into all truth. This one, we have to read it. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Are you still with me, my friends? Amen. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Remember, we are answering the question, what does it mean to be in Christ? We're just giving a fuller answer. The Bible says it this way, Jesus speaking. He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into how much of the truth? All the truth. There is a war today with truth. The world, and even in Christianity today, people are telling you they have the truth. There are many religions that keep the Sabbath. Did you know that? There are many other religions that do all sorts of things, but there's only one religion that seeks to keep the Sabbath. Believes in the sanctuary, believes in all the fundamental teachings of the Word of God, and says, we'll take all the Bible and all of it. Nothing else, nothing more, just give me the Word of God. It says in here, if the Spirit is in you, what will He do? He will lead you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to do what, my friends? To come. So if the Spirit is in you, you are guaranteed that He will lead you where? To truth. It is the Holy Spirit in your heart that will lead you to truth. Amen? Number two. He convicts us as well of sin. Many of us, we've had that experience. We're being tempted. By the way, being tempted is not a sin. But when you decide to act upon the temptation, either by thought or action, that is when it becomes a sin. But the Holy Spirit, before it becomes a sin, He is there convicting your heart, telling you, don't do this. It's not going to be good. Don't do this. It is that voice of conscience that comes through the power of who? The Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit directs your steps. If you're coming upon a crisis in your life at this moment, it might be a crisis of health. It might be a crisis of relationship. It might be a crisis of money. It might be whatever crisis comes your way. If you have the Holy Spirit, He will guide you to make the right decisions. Amen? You might say, well, Pastor, that sounds too good to be true. Well, we have to argue with the Word of God. So let's go to verse 7 of John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8, and you'll see it for yourselves. The Bible says there, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the, what is the name, my friends? The Helper will come to you. One of the first words that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit, He is a helper. You need help making that decision? Who is ready? The Holy Spirit. You're going through a crisis, you don't know what to do, who's ready to help you? He's been waiting to help you. Because He has 1,000 ways of which you know none. He has 1,000 ways. And He is there ready to help you. The reason why so often we feel overwhelmed is because we forget to ask the Holy Spirit for help. He's ready. He is waiting. The Bible says, verse 7, it says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Number 4, the Holy Spirit also gives us spiritual gifts. Cody, you will have spiritual gifts. I'm praying for Cody because one day in my heart, it's my prayer, he might take my place. God has given this man gifts. God has given all of us gifts that if we are connected to God, He will bless us with more gifts. Amen? Number 5, there are just 7. He empowers you to be faithful. I tell you what, human nature is a very dangerous thing. It is self that created the devil. The devil did not create self. It is when the devil did not check his selfishness that he became a devil. Human nature is a dangerous thing. It is weak and faulty. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be overcome. Through the power of Christ. The more we rely on His power, the more that human selfishness will die. The more I lean on Christ, the more my weakness becomes my strength. The more I lean on Christ, the more I feel that I'm in good hands. Number 6. If you want a text for number 5, by the way, go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You could mark it down in your notes. Number 6, He intercedes for you and gives you strength when you are weak. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. You could search it there on your own this afternoon. But number 7 is one that is very important for you, Cody, and everybody here. Number 7 is that the Holy Spirit is God's down payment to you and I that one day we will be in heaven with Him. We find that in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. The words of God says it this way. Remember, we're talking about what does it mean to be in Christ. It says it this way, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is what again, my friends? Is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you what? Life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells where? In you. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you might die today. But guess what? All of heaven is yours. Whatever comes your way in this mortal life, if the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, it will not separate you from the love of God. The Holy Spirit that God gave to us was God's down payment that heaven is real, amen? That there's a better world to come. That the things that we're facing today are not permanent, but they're temporary. The toothache, well, hopefully I get a good dentist. The backache, the doctor might help. The loss of sight, maybe they can do something about it. The broken heart, I don't know who can help. The loss of somebody that I love dearly, I don't know who can help in this world, but I know a great physician, and that is Jesus Christ. And in His own time, He will make all things new. Amen? And right now, if we doubt this is too good to be true, God says, I'll give you my Spirit. He's my down payment to you. In all, going back to our text here, is it okay if you give me 5 more minutes? In all, the Bible says this. Let's go back to our main text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now it starts to make sense what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? Piece by piece, God will change you. The old thoughts that you had will be taken away. The carnal desires will be crucified. The character traits that don't line up with Christ, Christ will take those away. Piece by piece, God will put you together. Because if you have Christ in your heart, all things indeed will be new. There were two people. I'd like to share these stories with you really quickly. One of them, we just saw him at camp meeting being ordained to the gospel ministry. His name is Dennis. Dennis grew up in Indiana, and he made very poor choices. He became one of the greatest drug dealers in the state of Indiana. Several times, people wanted his life, hunted for his life, sought him, and wanted to kill him, either because he owed money and all those different things that come with that destructive lifestyle. One day as he was there and somebody was hunting for his life, he was there and he was in his house right next to his desk. And as he was right next to his desk, an impression came upon his heart and he started to write a poem to God. He did not care for God. He did not even know who God really was. But he just felt impressed to write to this person named God. Wrote a poem. He finished that poem and he just tucked it in and things started getting intense again around him and they caught him. He went to federal prison. In federal prison, he pulled out that poem again and started to read over it. And he realized that that poem was God speaking to his heart to give his life to Jesus Christ. He doesn't even know how these words came about. But he read it and he saw that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with him. Mind you, he had no Bible. He had nobody witnessing to him but the Holy Spirit. After going through federal prison, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And just a week ago, he got ordained to the gospel ministry. That is living your life in Christ. Another gentleman, his name is Alex, saw him as well a week ago. He was watching the ordination ceremony, and I was looking at him and his family. This man I had baptized several years ago. And when I had baptized him, his wife wanted to divorce him because he was becoming a Christian. She almost became very violent, and one day she came to church and she wanted to tear apart everything in church, cursing all the members, saying nasty words, because she was so mad that her husband now was changing his lifestyle. She was not happy at the fact that he did not want to do the vices they were doing, watching the things that they were doing, eating a different way, and she cursed us. My last Sabbath at that place. Mad, furious. I'd seen him a little bit, but I did not see his whole family until a week ago. And there I was actually sitting right next to Travis. And I look over there and I see his family, I see a lady and I see the kids around him. And he's telling me that he's soon to be an elder in his church. And in my mind, I said, well, it's because probably he also found a good wife. So I told one of the former members, I said, you know, I saw Alex and I saw him with a new family and I praise God that God is working in his life. He says, no, Pastor, that is that woman. And I said, okay. And they told me this woman now, she's in charge of VBS. She's a deaconess. She's teaching Sabbath school. And I tell you what, when God does something in your life, even the pastor is amazed. I said, what? But it is true. Because when you are in Christ, indeed all things are new. Amen? How many of us here today want to say, Lord, I want to be in you. I want to follow your word, and I want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes if you just ask. If you just ask. And that is what we'll do today. If you're willing to respond to this appeal, why don't you stand with me? And as we stand together, we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to change our lives, to become more like Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you realizing that without you we're nothing. But with you, we can hope for all things. Some of us, Lord, we take a lot of work. But you're up for the challenge. For if you can save both Dennis and Alex, their spouses, you can change our lives too. We ask at this moment, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We ask not because we deserve it, but because you want to give it and because we need it. So at this moment, change our lives and help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.